Like that sound, and it's good to be back. And welcome to Search for Lawful Government with Ron Avery. Here on January the 24th in the year of the Lord 2023. So the kingdom of heaven has been established on the earth for over 2,000 years, but it still suffers violence until his return. Well, I want to first make some announcements that this is Tuesday, and now Thursday we will have Roger Sales on, and he'll talk to me about the Jim Crow laws and the 14th Amendment and levels and voluntary nature of citizenship and how that can be utilized by the people and for what purpose. And by the way, that show will be video simulcast to livestream.com/Ron Avery. Okay, and then the following Thursday, so a week after that, we'll have, I'm trying to get, Anna Von Ritz has already said she will come on the show anytime, but she hasn't yet quite confirmed that she'll be here that Thursday. So that would be on the 2nd of February. But today I have a special guest, Greg Ferris, and he's going to talk to us about self-defense firearms and the right, and the law, and the strategy and mental preparation. And so let me get my material out here so I can see it. Okay. Greg, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing today, Ron?
Oh, real good. Good to hear you. Yes. Well, first of all, I'd like for you to kind of tell the audience your background a little bit in order that and why you've written this material we're fixing to cover.
Well, essentially, my entire life started when I became a SA peace officer, and I started learning stuff then about what it took in order to work within the system and what the system could not do for the individual. Then, as life progressed, I had a number of incidents wherein I ended up as a civilian, ending up into shooting incidents, and had to have the ability to survive those incidents. Unfortunately, some of my previous training had helped me out there. And at that point, I started devising ways to pass the information that I had learned by the hard facts of the incidents along to people who could actually utilize them and prepare just in case they were put into a situation where they were going to be at extreme risk.
Yes. Okay. I see. That's that would certainly impress upon your mind the need for people to know that kind of thing, since you've experienced it yourself. Now, you sent me 6 articles, and there are a page, some of them a little longer than a page, but I'm going to read the title of each one. Now, we may not be able to get to all of that. Every one of them today, we want to cover them well. We don't want to do them sloppy, and we don't want to just cram them in here. So, and we'll talk for the first 30 minutes, half of the show, and we'll take callers, their questions and stuff. And if they don't call in, if we don't have many of those, we'll just continue. And if you don't mind, if we don't finish it all, I'd love to have you back on the show to do that.
Sure.
So would that be okay?
Yeah, be fine.
Oh, super. Okay. Well, let's see. I'm going to name the titles of each of the six articles, and then I'm going to go back to number one, and we'll start covering the material there. So article one is social degradation versus personal defense. And let's see, number two, where did number two go? I passed it up. Number two is choosing a suitable self-defense firearm. Okay, and let's see, three, I'm zooming past these with my little slider here. Article three is deadly force practice elements. And number four is practical application of Texas self-defense laws. And number five is tactical considerations. And number six is psychological, physical considerations. Well, all these sound very interesting. And so anyway, to start off here, I noticed you mentioned that the social structure of our society is failing. And that's why it's even more important to learn some of this self-defense material, because, you know, there's just people have gotten a little crazier these days, for sure. And society and the structure of society is losing its ability to protect you from all this stuff. It's part of the problem. But then you say that it's the responsibility of each individual, and you ask then, what are the potential times or places for creating potential serious risk in your everyday existence? You might want to think about that and how to prepare for it.
And well, actually, what I'm trying to get people to do with all of these articles, number one, I don't cover the topics 100%. There's just no way in the short, brief period of time that we talk about it or write about it that you can cover it individually for everybody, because everybody's an individual. There's different applications based on who you are, what you are, what your risks are. But what I'm trying to teach everybody to do is start thinking about this and having a proper analysis by which they can decide all of the different things that they can implement in order to be successful in a self-defense incident. And the number one thing is to recognize, and this is quite true, nobody's responsible for your life but you. And if you're silly enough to think that somebody is going to run up and help you out, whether it be your neighbor, whether it be maybe even a family member, or even be law enforcement, that's not something you can count on. And because you can't count on it, you're going to fall back to what Mother Nature gave you. Mother Nature gave you a survival instinct. If you disregard that, if you sugarcoat that, as I used to put to my students in my classes, if you cover it up with religion, morality, ethics, laws, and all that stuff, you're going to be totally indecisive once you are confronted with deadly force, and you will not have the ability to respond probably in time. You'll probably lose your life because you're sitting there in a quandary thinking about things you should have prepared and thought long before that incident occurred.
Yes, that's right. It's even natural. I've noticed myself, you know, entering certain kinds of conditions, you know, I'm beginning to think, well, what do I look like to somebody else? Do I look like I can't take care of myself, or I wouldn't be able to defend myself? Or do I look like easy prey? And what would I do if I really was approached, accosted, and what would I, you know, how would I defend myself? I even thought, well, do I have a nail gun handy? Do I have a big stick or a baseball bat or what?
Well, that's also part of the discussion, as you read, was one of my topics, is choosing a suitable self-defense firearm. And once again, same thing applies, is that you can't individually make a singular recommendation because there are different applications, whether or not you're going to carry it, whether it's in your car, whether it's at home, whether or not you're in places where you have to have access to it or can gain access to it. I mean, all those things apply. And that's one of the very things that I mentioned in the first article, which I believe you were approaching, is called What If?
Yes.
What if this? What if that? What if that? You sit down, get in your comfortable chair, take all the distractions away, and you start asking yourself questions, and you start putting in variables, and you start answering those questions as to how you would handle those variables, and you will realize what a quandary you could be in real quickly if you don't make your mind up to do certain things to eliminate the thought process so that you bring this back to what I call the KISS principle, which is keep it simple, stupid, because if you don't keep it simple, you're putting yourself in jeopardy. And we'll cover a number of different things in tactics, but the first thing I want everybody to know is you always attempt to steal every advantage you possibly can from any opponent. This is not going to be a fair contest. There's no equal chances here. You do them dirty as fast as you possibly can because the only thing that matters is that you're standing at the end. And to do that means you steal from them the number one tactical element, which is time. And time is the most important element because it's the only thing in your life you have to give away. And if you give it away to them, you're screwing yourself over big time. And I know I'm kind of, you know, pushing this really strongly, but this is where the impetus is to start making these decisions, playing the what-if game so that you understand you're the only one responsible for this. And if you deny that responsibility, well, you damn well deserve what you get in the end if it happens to you.
Well, okay, I like what you were saying here about the what if, you know. I'm going to read several of them, just the first parts of them. It says,
sure.
Number one, am I aware of my surroundings? Okay, it'd be good to be aware of your surroundings, see what they are. And number two, would I recognize a threat in time to react to it? Number three, do I have the mindset to act without hesitation? Boy, that's really important, I know, because let me tell you, I don't like violence. I flee from violence. I mean, I don't like any part of that. And then, and I've been a bar owner, so I know what that is. And thank goodness I was always able to control situations. By the way, I always call the sheriff in a heartbeat. But then number four was, do I allow legal constraints to take precedent? Well, I can see myself, I wouldn't be thinking about legal precedents if somebody was attacking me. But number five, do I have physical and mental limitations that may require planned compensation? Well, you bet. I think everybody has some kind of those. Then six, have I researched both the physical and mental abilities of a likely assailant? Boy, that's another. You're not kidding. Some of these people could be downright crazy, for sure. And then number seven, have I researched and understand what effects are physically required to effectively and immediately stop a threat? And so, in other words, will my skills and training tools work effectively when needed that will neutralize and keep them neutralized, the attacker? Boy, I mean, these are important things. It would probably be good to think about this kind of stuff for just about anybody in these days.
Well, those were all of the various different concerns that should be running through your head when you're playing the what-if game. And you should be able to individually answer all those questions, or at least put yourself into a position where you can cause a way that you can cure the deficiency that you have when you answer one of them incorrectly, in other words, to your detriment. And you should be able to ask these questions. It doesn't have to be a long process, but it has to be an intense one where you actually are honest with yourself. There's a lot of people out there that let ego carry themselves away, and we might talk about it later, the way the effects of the law, the public perception, and all that stuff, and ego and guys. You know, we think that a fist fight might be a good thing, but if a guy's got a knife, it's probably not such a good idea. So
that's
the trick
right.
here is to play the game in your head, the what if game, so that you can make a decision. And your brain's already preset because you're programming it. That's what you're essentially doing. Training is doing something that is putting you into a condition at a point where you're going to fall back on your training. You train improperly is just like using the damn computer. You put crap in there, you're getting crap out. And the same thing applies to your own brain. You've already figured out, I don't pull any punches when I talk to people about this subject matter. But the point here is that you need to do that analysis. You need to make that decision because ultimately you are the one that is the most responsible and you are the one that is going to gain or lose by making that decision.
Yes. Well, I know in these seven questions you have here to ask yourself, I know that some of them I could pre-plan and some of them I couldn't. And that's why it would be good to have the ones you can plan, have it planned, be trained at it so you just do it by muscle reaction, just rote memory reaction rather than trying to analyze something for the first time. You never even thought about physical defense before, the threat arises. You're not going to be very skilled at coming up with a solution. So now if I wanted to learn some of these skills, some of this training, so I could be good at self-defense, where would I go to do that?
Well, it depends on which skills. Are you trying to gain information? Are you trying to use the physical skills? Are you trying to use the firearm? You know, my range, you can come out and shoot and do your practice, and you can have your training, your testing, because you're going to test the equipment also. You're going to put yourself into a position where you know what you're using is going to work and that your techniques are going to work and that they're going to give you the best advantage in stealing time away from your opponent. Because the first and last time this asshole ever needs to know that you've got a gun is when that bullet's ripping through his ass and putting him on the ground.
Yeah.
So
you don't want to pull it out and just try to scare the guy. You better be ready to use it.
Well, that's my recommendation. But however, under Texas law, you can use the brandishing of a firearm as a threat of force. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're flipping the page and turning the advantage back over to your opponent, and when you do that, he doesn't need to know crap until it's over. And you want to be the only witness at the end. I've made that point in several of the other articles. But go ahead, and what else did you want to?
Yeah. Well, you said your range. Do you have a gun range as well?
Yeah, we're in Bull Verde. We're called Cedar Ridge Range. I run a gun shop, or my son does now, but they run the gun shop where we do repairs and sell ammo and guns, and that's at 7110 FM 1863 in Bull Verde. And you can look on our website, cedarridgerange.com, to get information and travel map and all that stuff to get here. And it's a good place to come out and have a safe time shooting is what it basically boils down to. And then you can practice all the skills you need. And the other thing that we have here that most of the other shooting ranges do not have is virtually every major competition club in San Antonio shoots at my range. And if you want a way to drive yourself in your training, in other words, force yourself to work under pressure with other people watching with some kind of goal in mind, try to start shooting competitively. Now, not all the techniques that they use are going to apply necessarily, but let me tell you, your skill level will just blossom if you get out and start shooting competitively. So that's another advantage, which is very funny because it, go ahead.
That actually sounds like fun. Now, will you send me an email with the address of your gun range so I can put that in the summary of the show? That'd be really great.
It's just cedarridgerange.com.
Oh, okay, the website then. Peter Ridge?
Cedar, as in the wonderful tree that's going to drown us in pollen here shortly. Cedar Ridge Range.
Okay. All right. Well, with that, everybody stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
That's kind of fun. Yeah, the time has come today. It's about time. Yeah, and you want to take the time away from your opponent if he's attacking you. And that's one of the major things you've said here in your articles. We're talking to Greg Ferris on the topic of self-defense. And Greg, we're starting Article 2 now in choosing a suitable self-defense firearm. And you know, myself, I was just thinking about that. I like groovy firearms. I mean, something different or unusual about them. I bought one, a kind of a pistol with actually could convert it to a rifle. It was a very unusual thing. I just thought it was cool. I think it was a .40 caliber, shot a .40 caliber bullet. And I don't know where that is now. I think my son traded it off for something, but it was really a neat gun. I'd never shot it. But what I'm saying is, I never really thought of these things in terms of real self-defense. And, of course, when I was young in high school, a lot of guys in my age group, you know, we'd go out and shoot cans and anything we could get. And we did shoot rifles. You know, I had an M1 carbine. And, you know, we did all the, you know, the real no-nos. The sign of a terrorist these days is to tape two clips together. Boy, you tape two clips together, you're a terrorist, which is ridiculous. But anyway, that's the kind of stuff we did. And we just went out and shot cans and, you know, rabbits and stuff like that, but armadillo. But not that that was fantastic, but, you know, it was growing up and being around firearms. So, in fact, one of my best friends accidentally shot himself on one of our hunting trips. That's another story I don't want to get into. He survived it. He has a fine family, lots of family members, lots of grandkids. Everything's fine. But anyway, going on, how do we choose a suitable self-defense firearm? You there, Greg? Well, I hope Greg didn't think that was the end of the show. I said we'd be right back. I don't know. Maybe he's not there. Well, anyway, I'm going to go on since I have the article right in front of me. He asked the question, do you intend to compromise your choice of a firearm so that you can conceal and or carry it? And carry it how and where? Texas is a difficult place to carry concealed due to hot weather and normal clothing. It is very uncomfortable to carry a firearm for extended periods, and particularly when worn in body positions. Oh, okay, great. You back, Greg?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We got cut off somehow.
Oh, okay. We were just talking, we're talking about choosing a suitable self-defense firearm. We've only got about 2 minutes before the next break, which will be another three-minute break, and then we'll continue. But how would you go about choosing a firearm for self-defense?
Well, once you play the what-if game and you analyze what your likely opponent is, his physical structure, his ability to take or be wounded or to be stopped, what are the circumstances? Do you have to shoot through something or are you going to have direct contact? Then you need to start analyzing not the gun itself to start with. You start analyzing the effect you want on your opponent, which means what will that projectile do when it reaches your opponent? In other words, you've got a bunch of decisions to make there. Once you pick your projectile based on your circumstances, your risk, and the likely way that you'll have to use this thing to incapacitate your opponent, then that caliber is applied to the various guns that are manufactured for it. Then you start analyzing, is this a carry gun? Is this a desk gun? Is this a car gun? All of those things come into play, and you try to pick the one firearm that fits you the best, that you can handle the best ergonomically, because a lot of guns don't fit people's hands, and a lot of people can't control them when they're shooting them. So you have to do that analysis also, because you want to be able to make the first shot count, because it is by far and away the most important shot. But you've got to have the potential to be able to make follow-up shots, because you might have multiple opponents and other reasons that you have to shoot again and again and again. So the trick here is that you analyze this based on who you are, what you can do, and it may take some testing. The best thing to do is find a friend that's got a bunch of firearms that he's willing to let you shoot and go out and play with them, and it will give you some guidance as to what you can do, or come to the range and rent some firearms from us and try them out. That's the easiest way to do it.
It's break time again, Greg. We'll be right back after this.
All right.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Yes, you can go your own way, but you might need some self-defense tips because somebody may not like where you're going or will take advantage of you going there. So, you know, we're talking to Greg Ferris today about self-defense, and we're going to cover 6 articles. We're on the 2nd article now. And, you know, as Greg's been talking, I was thinking to myself, it sounds like I need several defense devices, and then it's kind of like selecting your clothes for where what you're going to wear depending on where you're going. You know, if I'm going to a funeral or going to a church or going a fancy place, you put on some different clothes. Or if you're going out in the wilderness, you put on some different clothes. You know, if you're going to go slop hogs, you put on some different. So depending on where you're going and where you got to go, that may be on choosing also what kind of self-defense device you might have on yourself. Is that right?
Yeah, it's all part of the process because it's all individual, because once you select your ammunition for its effect, and then you apply the ammunition to the gun that you select, then you apply it to the way that you're going to have it accessible. All of those things end up being very individual, and you can have more than one, which isn't a bad idea, and you can have more than one for applications under different times of the year, because Texas is a tough place to carry in the summer. You can't hide much. Clothing just doesn't let you do that. But, yeah, you have to make the selection. And we'll address that real quick. You do better have the ability to hide that gun because you don't ever want him to know you got it. You can have open carry in this state, but I don't recommend it in any manner, shape, or form.
Huh. What is your complaint against open carry?
You let your adversary know you're armed. Why in the hell would he even bother with you? He'd just run up behind you and shoot you in the back of the head.
Hit you with a big club on the back of the head.
Whatever, but he's going to grab the advantage because criminals are not terribly bright, thank God. I got the first two that I was involved in the shootout with who trained me. I'll give them credit. They actually gave me a lesson. But the point here is that you need to, like I said, steal every advantage you can, and one of those is making sure they don't know that you're armed. Very, very important.
Yeah, that's like police officers, for example. They are armed, and everybody knows they're armed. So,
well, they've got other problems is their training and the fact that they have escalation of force. A citizen should never truly consider escalation of force. It's one of the big bullshit things that goes through people's minds. You know, if the guy presents this, I do that. If he does this, I do that. You draw a line in the sand, he crosses it, boom, it's over. And I don't recommend it. See, the problem with all of this is that I spent well over a 10-hour course teaching this when I was a CHL instructor for the wonderful state of Texas, which I'm no longer a CHL instructor. But because of my background and experiences in my shootouts and stuff, I ended up as a court witness in self-defense cases and everything, which I still currently do to this day. So I've got a lot of background, and some of it's from people's having experiences that I've had to participate in as an expert. So, you know, we've got a lot of background here, and it takes a lot to discuss this stuff and decide it.
Wow. Well, it all sounds very, very interesting, and mainly because it's not something that I consciously think about very much, hardly at all.
Well, you never want to go where I've been. That's the number one rule.
Well, see, that's another problem with police officers. They are told and they have to go into places that are dangerous in the first place that most people would not go to.
Most normal citizens don't go to the aid
of some kind of a family dispute or something. That's terrible, you know.
Well, let me put a dot on that I there for you. Most police officers that do take their job seriously know that they're serving the public. They're there to do the public good. However, Supreme Court decisions have actually put it to where they can leave a situation. If they feel that their life is in jeopardy, they don't have to stay and protect you. Another reason why you got to take the responsibility for protecting yourself. Because generally, you know, the laughing joke is a police officer is minutes away when you need him in seconds. But the point here is, even if he shows up, you damn sure can't always count on him, and you shouldn't. And I've got a number of individual examples, personal ones, where police officers have not done what they were supposed to do. So you're the one that has to be ready to do it.
Well, that's a new one on me that a police officer was not, you know, and that brings up this thing that happened in the school shooting out in Uvalde.
We don't want to touch that one with a 10-foot pole because every one of those guys need to have their ass kicked out of service.
and on top of it, you know, they're all saying, well, they didn't do it. Well, now you just got through saying the law does not any longer require that the police officers endanger themselves to take somebody out.
No, there was a situation, a Supreme Court decision was made where a person showed up, guy was holding a gun to the woman, and the person holding the gun said, you leave or I'll kill you. And the officer got in his car, drove away, waited for backup. He killed the woman in the meantime. The family sued, and the Supreme Court said, no, he wasn't required by his job to actually stay there and defend the woman and put his own life in jeopardy. So, hey, Police officers know this. They don't bother to tell anybody, generally, but they know it. They don't care that the public gets to have that information. And that's the other problem that I had with the state of Texas doing the CHL. I've got a number of different incidents where we had the wonderful people who ran the program were not caring to give the information to the public. They just wanted you to say, yes, sir, no, sir, how high, and jump when you were told to jump by a police officer. It's bull, and we can get into that in another topic on another different day.
Right. Now, CHL, that's concealed handgun...
licensing, yeah.
License, okay. That's what I thought it was, but I always thought it was some other initial for... But anyway, no. All right. Wow. Well, this is just new information to me. This would encourage everybody to get a little more savvy about self-defense. Okay. Is there any probability that a significant someone else, like your spouse or your minors or friends, your children, how about a gun? Selecting a gun that, like, if you were all together and you were incapacitated somehow, would your family member be able to pick it up and do some more self-defense?
Well,
is that the idea?
There's no reason to restrict your training to yourself particularly. Hell, get the whole family involved. Even if the gun doesn't fit their hands, teach them, let them know how to use it. My son was 3 years old when I first handed him, and I was smart enough to only put one round in the chamber at a time. But every time he'd fire a shot, he'd turn around and say, more ammo, Daddy. And there's only two responses from kids. It's that or I don't like it. And if they don't like it, wait till they grow up a little later and explain it rationally to them why they need the skill. But if they like it, start them as early as you can. Let them have fun. Teach them the responsibilities of using that firearm and how to handle it correctly. Because guess what? We talk about family members. We're talking about people that are more likely targets than we are because we're the male in the family. We're supposedly the dominant member of the group. But guess who is least likely to understand that one of the minor members or one of the lesser members of the group is armed? That's the criminal. He's focused on the big guy. He doesn't know, and you'll see it in one of my articles, that a husband and wife both confronted at the same time. The wife's going to be able to actually react sooner. And the big thing that got me crossways in several different ways in court and in my teaching, and it made it to the statewide publication, was that I taught everybody, you only have to know one thing in law to defend yourself, and that is to ask the simple question. This is probably the most important question that you can ask because there's only two answers, yes and no, it's black and white. Am I in fear of losing my life or being seriously injured? And if you can answer yes to that question, you can use any manner, shape, or form of deadly force from a car to a cannon to stop that actual threat to your life and your safety. And if you answer no to it, all other probabilities and options are open to you under the law. But once you answer yes, it's what you know, when you know it. Do you have to be right? Oh, hell no. Hell, we got police officers that dozens of times have shot people with toy guns and shot them when they've had objects in their hands that weren't even weapons. So if they're not going to hold them to that responsibility, then you're probably going to have an easy time in court if they bother to try to prosecute you over it. So the whole trick here is what you know, when you know it, ask the question, answers yes or no. That's a simplicity.
Right.
Then you don't have to study the law. Now, I still recommend you do that for one simple reason. The more you know, the better off you are. And there's other reasons that you can use deadly force, which does not require you to even ask that question. But you have to know the circumstances and you have to know the qualifications required under law to be able to use the deadly force. I'd laugh every time somebody talks about Texas and our deadly force laws. We have the ability at nighttime, because we're not a night species, we have the ability at nighttime to shoot a person or use deadly force against them to prevent theft or criminal mischief. Now, you think about that for a second. Oh, wow, yes. And think about being on the East or West Coast and having that as a law here in Texas and why they think so poorly of us, because we have those laws. But guess what? We honor property here the same way, and we recognize that the human being is not a nighttime creature. So you don't get to make those decisions as easily as you would during the daytime as to use force or deadly force. Like I said, this is a huge topic, and we got lots of tangents we can hit.
Yes, yes. Well, that's all very interesting, and I can see how you could be better at defending yourself and your family if you were knowledgeable of these things and not hesitant because of thinking of future trouble or, oh, I can't do that. I know many people that say, well, you can't do that, or, no, you got to drag them into the house first before you shoot them and all that.
Well,
kind
that
of
was the old adage, yeah, shoot them, drag them in. No, don't do that.
Right. But anyway, this is very fascinating. I know that I was shooting guns. In the summer times I was spent with my grandparents, and I shot guns as a very young kid and enjoyed it and had fun with it. They're so taboo today that you can imagine the difficulty some people would have in coming around to.
I have to take exception to your comment that they're taboo today. They're only taboo with a very small, elite bunch of jerks who don't have any comprehension. I got news for you. The silent majority has gone completely silent, but they're still the majority, and there are way more of us than there are of them. So,
Very good. Well, to my credit, I want to tell my audience this because it's kind of funny. It is funny to me because it wasn't what I was expecting from my wife. But my wife said, for this Mother's Day, and this was a couple of years ago, she said, I want to go to a firing range and practice with my .357 Magnum. Now, I have a .22 pistol, but she has a .357 Magnum. And I thought, what? And she's frail compared. I'm not a big guy, and she's frail compared to me. And you know what? She's a better shot with that thing, too, than I am. And
all the years that I've given lessons, I've found that ladies handle the bigger caliber firearms a little better initially than the guys do, because the guys want to fight it. The ladies will let go with the flow, and they do much better, and they listen better. They don't have that ego problem that we got.
Okay, well, that's pretty fascinating. Well, anyway, we did that. The whole family went to a firing range, and we took our pistols. I don't think we took any long rifles, but we did. And let me tell you, I was not impressed with my .22 pistol. I thought, man, I'm having a hard time hitting something at 25 feet with this thing. This is ridiculous. And I thought it was going to – see, I'm used to firing a .22 rifle. I had a Winchester of my cousin's, and it was very accurate. I mean, that .22 rifle, you could shoot a bird at 50 yards almost. And with this pistol, I was not impressed with the accuracy.
Well, let me tell you the three qualifiers here. The gun itself, how it's manufactured, how well it's designed, is one element. The other is the ammo. And then the third element is the one that screws everything up. That's the guy pulling the trigger. 99.9999% of the time, the guy pulling the trigger is the one making the other two look bad. So if you have inaccuracy problems, then you need to let somebody who actually does shoot it without being intimidated by it shoot it and see what the gun can prove, what the ammo can prove. And you actually need to do that with your self-defense gun because you need to know what it's capable of also. So it's part of the testing process for that. But modern firearms generally shoot better than the people that own them.
Yes, well, let me say this. I have one more little story to get out before this next break, and then when we come back, we'll kind of wrap it up. But my mother had I think it was a 38. She traded my M1 carbine, which I was sad to hear about afterwards. She traded an M1 carbine for a lousy 38 pistol, and I tried shooting the pistol. And I could not hit a tree about a foot and a half wide at 20 feet. I couldn't hit a tree. And I went, this thing is a piece of junk. And so there's more to just getting a firearm and shooting it for the first time. It, it's you got to learn a skill for these things.
Yeah, you do. You have to practice. You have to train.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it won't be long till our break comes up. It's in just a few seconds. But anyway, after we come back, we'll have about 3 or 4 seconds to 3 or 4 minutes to wrap it up. And then we'll talk about the next time you may be able to come on and finish up. I think we kind of covered Article 2. So we've got about 4 more articles to go. And, of course, I know you've covered some of it ahead of time. But anyway, we'll be back after this.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and 5 easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air. And 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadrepreciousmetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Ride like the wind. That sounds good. Well, that's it for today's show. I want to thank Greg Ferris for coming on and introducing us to these ideas about self-defense. And we've only really gotten through Article 2, but we covered some of the stuff that's in some of the other articles. And are you still here with us, Greg? I think he got cut off again because he called me on the phone. I really couldn't answer it because of, you know, of having this going on at the same time. But anyway, he will come on at open times to discuss the rest of this. And it's really interesting stuff. I like it. And I'm glad he was able to do this. And and by the way, also look at the review that I write, the summary of it, because I'll have his website there written, and that because he owns this firing range and they teach these some of this stuff at his firing range. And also look at the upcoming guest we have. We'll have Roger Sales on this coming Thursday. And then we'll have Anna Von Ritz shortly after that. And, you know, we may have them on again, too, if they want to, if we don't cover all the material with them either. So, anyway, the show must have been really good today because when it started, it was rainy and cloudy. And I'm looking out the window. It's sunny and mostly blue sky. So impressive, huh? I don't know about that. But anyway, you want to come back and hear the rest of this on self-defense. I find it very interesting. Just because you know about guns and you've played with them when you were young and used them and even were a hunter and stuff, that may not make you good at self-defense. That's a kind of a different topic. I don't normally walk around in a self-defense mode. But anyway, it is something to think about, and especially in the days ahead when so many ordinary places become threatening places. So anyway, thanks again, and we'll see you next time. See you Thursday. All right. Bye-bye.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
True, true.